The UK would like to make some observations on the papers submitted to the GGE in respect to the area of human control and human-machine interaction in relation to laws. I am joined by my colleague, Mr. Michael Boardman, who is a principal advisor on human systems in the UK's Defence Science and Technology Laboratory. So I will make some preliminary comments and then beg your indulgence in handing over to him for a more expert view on this issue. As we have stated previously and reiterated in our opening statement of this session, the UK strongly believe that AI within weapons systems can and must be used lawfully and ethically. We therefore oppose the creation of and use of systems that would operate without meaningful and context-appropriate human involvement throughout their life cycle. We encourage this group to be ambitious, to consider what it can do to drive behaviour and improve the understanding of the legal and operational implications of the adoption of autonomy in weapon systems. We have heard a number of delegations say that many systems are already banned de facto. We agree. What is missing is not the legal framework, it is the focus on building norms of use and application of these obligations in this context. It is essential that this group does the work to demonstrate how degrees of autonomy in weapon systems can be used in accordance with international humanitarian law, with suitable levels of human control, accountability, and responsibility. A key component of ensuring context-appropriate human involvement is determining the nature of human decision-making, of interaction with and control over weapon systems which incorporate AI. This must take into account the wide range of system types, of operational environments, of degrees of autonomy to ensure compliance with IHL. The state is the focus of international law obligations. The state's obligation to ensure respect is engaged through the promulgation of these obligations to its human agents. Legal accountability cannot be digitized. The principle of distinction requires that states at all times distinguish between civilian population and combatants. The principle of proportionality prohibits the launch of an attack which causes civilian damage, which is disproportionate to the concrete and direct military advantage anticipated. To do so is a war crime. Article 35 of Additional Protocol 1 provides that in any armed conflict, the right of parties to the conflict to choose means or methods of warfare is not unlimited. Article 36 requires that states determine whether new weapons, means or methods of warfare would be used in some or all circumstances prohibited as a matter of international law. Article 57 requires states to take all feasible precautions in the choice of means and methods of attack with a view to avoiding or in any event minimising civilian harm. These provisions are accompanied by numerous others across the field of IHL. They are all direct and concrete binding requirements that apply to states and apply in the context of autonomous systems. These requirements and the accountability they attract, individually and together, apply to states and humans. They cannot be digitized or avoided. We need to recognize that this is not a field without regulation. We need to hold states and those with command responsibility to these principles, which apply even when they are using advanced technology. I'll now hand over to Mike to pick up on the themes in the individual proposals. Thank you.